Good morning. Welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to what is the largest segment of society, to those of you who are coming to realize that the world's religious, political, economic, and military institutions are corrupt. That every one of these institutions has grown to be counterproductive. And yet, so many in the world are ignorant of this fact, and so many more have become dependent upon their treachery. Our number, if you would like to join us, separating yourself from being enslaved by, indoctrinated by, deceived by mankind, and being enlightened by God, whose name is Yahweh, is 877-300-7645. We have IQ Al-Rasulik, an extraordinary individual, who is going to be calling in from Europe in our second hour today. So in our first hour, where we would normally cover the news, we're going to return to Yahweh's testimony. And we have an enormous contributor to this program, Kirk, on the line. Kirk will do what I do when somebody says something kind about him and try to deflect the praise. But the fact is that the dialogues that Kirk and I have had as we seek to look at what Yosha called the yods and the tittles, the letters, particularly the hand reaching down and out to us that is the beginning of Yahweh's name and virtually every important Hebrew name, his name, Yahweh, and the tittles, which are the strokes that comprise the pictures that are painted by each of the letters in the Hebrew alphabet. I think we have gone a long way to demonstrate that the objection that so many have against what I've attempted to do in Yada Yah and the introduction to God, which is to dive into Hebrew and convey God's testimony, considering the root meaning of the words, an amplified definition of each word, a correct and complete analysis of each word, the history of the word, how the word's meaning was originally known and derived, as well as applying the forms of Hebrew grammar in a relational, volitional sense, that there are objections, which is, you know, I'm not going to have to, I don't have the time to learn Hebrew. Certainly God wouldn't condemn me just because I don't know Hebrew. That all of that disappears when we talk to Kirk. Kirk is, like me in many ways, he's a throwback to an analog world. And looks at the world really very keenly from an observation point of view. Notices the way things look, the way they appear, the way a scene is set, the interactions that take place, because he's an artist. And I look at things in terms of how each of the components of that scene are interacting. You know, what is the connection between them? What's the commonality between those things? And how are they distinct from other things? And collectively, I think what we're doing is showing that you don't have to be a scholar, because I'm certainly not a scholar. And although you teach, I don't think you would consider yourself a scholar either, Kirk.
No,
you don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to be an expert in translation or an expert in Hebrew. I'm not an expert in either of those things. I just have a passion for them. How about you, Kirk?
Well, I know a lot of words, but I probably couldn't go down to a grocery store in Israel and buy groceries. So,
yeah,
but I can,
yeah.
I can look up everything that Yahweh said, and I can figure out what he said.
And you, like me, we know thousands of words. I know what the words mean. When I see the words, I say, that's what this word means. But you're right. I would have a difficult time going down a grocery aisle in Israel because so much of it is poisoned by religion, by the rabbinical kosher code that really has nothing to do with the Torah. It's has all to do with rabbinic Judaism. Mm-hmm. And so I think we've demystified it. I think it's extremely helpful for people to just recognize this is the meaning of the words, this is the context they were used, these are the characters that comprise them. And when you do that, you have no excuse. I mean, the only excuse that you could possibly muster is I'm not willing to invest the time. I've got other interests, distractions, responsibilities, and so I'm just simply not going to invest the time. Does it boil down just to that one?
That's the only excuse you can have. It's no excuse. I don't care.
If you don't care, you don't care. And I think that is by design. Kirk, one of the things that bothered me the most for, and I'm going to tell you that it bothered me for 4 or 5 years. I mean, this has been very close to a 15-year process for me. And I would say the thing that bothered me the most initially, as I came to understand the 7 steps that we take to Yahweh, the terms and conditions of the covenant, the fact that the covenant has not been renewed, the fact that our English translations are hopelessly corrupt, and that Yah's testimony is in absolute conflict with Christianity. The thing that bothered me the most was, why didn't God make this easier?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't he just simplify it? But these things that I'm coming to learn, I had to invest enormous time studying, and then I had to make connections, and then I had to fine-tune them as I developed greater knowledge and invested more time in this voyage. And you're kind of saying, God, why didn't you just state it this way? I mean, if I can state it this way, now that I've studied it, why didn't you state it that way? I think that's the once you come to understand why he didn't do it that way, then I think you understand the entire purpose of the Torah. What is the definition of Torah, Kirk?
It is always abbreviated. It good, I-T-I-T-G-D. It's Torah is teaching or it's guidance, instruction. Mm-hmm. Direction. So it's a teaching too.
So if we look at the verb that underlies Torah, it's the source from which teaching, instruction, guidance, and direction flow.
Mm-hmm.
Teaching, you teach art,
yep.
And you provide instruction on art.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to show a student the results, you just give them, here is the result. I'm not going to bother to tell you any of the thought process that went before it. I'm not going to try to show you how you get here. I'm just going to show you the result.
Right.
Would you be teaching?
No, I'd just be putting on a display.
That is correct. That would be a display. You're displaying the answer. You're displaying the result, but there is no teaching involved.
No.
Are your students going to benefit in any way if you simply put on a display and you show the, present the result?
No, they'll pretty much be lost as a, like babes in the woods, as they say.
Yeah, there's no interaction with them.
No.
They haven't engaged in any way. They haven't been stimulated in any way. They haven't gained anything. They haven't been enriched in any way. They are, as I would say, bumps on a log. Nothing. No interaction, no growth, no development, no enrichment, nothing.
But now,
if you just have the answer. But if you, let's take it the other way.
Okay.
Let's say that you didn't show them the answer. But what you did is you, from every possible perspective, in every meaningful way, you showed them how to look at the world, how to see things with a very keen and discerning eye, and then how you go about rendering that so that you can understand it and share it with others. But you never gave them the answer. You just gave them the tools to get to the result. Would that enrich them?
Well, it's
enable them
if they apply, if they If they have the right tools and they have an explanation of how to get there, they can certainly try, and then they're enriched by the trip.
Yes. They may not be as good an artist as you are.
Maybe not. Maybe better if I teach.
Maybe better. Maybe better. But the fact is that you're going to equip them with the knowledge, understanding, perspective. Perspective is a huge thing.
Yeah.
And tools to get the job done.
Everything they need to know.
And you're going to, one of the things you're going to tell them in this process, and this, by the way, is Torah.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Torah is, while God does provide the answer is in the teaching. The answer is in the instruction. And so one of the things you're going to tell them is that if you're going to draw something, the first thing, the very first thing that you've got to do is be observant.
Absolutely. Talk about it all the time.
You've got to notice, for example, that the ram's head is a triangular shape and an ox's head is rectangular,
mm-hmm.
for example.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Yes, sir.
You want to draw a face, you've got to recognize, where do the elements fall? Like, for example, most people think that your eyes are your forehead and they're the top part of your head, but there's actually a geometric relationship between, where the eyes and nose and mouth fall, and you can teach that, can't you, to someone who is willing to be observant?
I teach it all the time, but I have to teach them how to look. That's what I tell them all the time. I'm trying to teach you how to see things.
How to look. How to be observant.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the thing that Yahweh tells us all the time on his teaching? He begins it by saying, the most important thing here, folks, is I want you to be observant. Closely examine, carefully consider.
Right. Shemar is all over the book.
So your approach to art and his approach to teaching, your approach to teaching art and his approach to presenting this picture of the family.
All right.
Exactly the same.
Absolutely.
All right. Okay, the second thing that you've got to teach them is perspective, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That in art, it's all about the perspective that you have towards what it is that you're looking at and want to draw. And if your perspective is wrong, it doesn't matter how good your colors are. It doesn't matter how good your technique is. It doesn't matter how beautiful your strokes are. It doesn't matter if you know the shape of everything. Your picture is just a jumbled mess, isn't it? It looks foolish.
That would be correct, yeah.
Perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Perspective, Kirk. You know how important it is in art. Probably second most important thing to observation in art.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
In Yahweh's testimony, in who Yahweh is, I think perspective is second most important to observation as well. The problem with Christians is that they're viewing the story through a corrupt lens from the wrong perspective, almost from the end to the beginning,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to the beginning to the end. Where does Yahweh start?
He starts with where we are, but he starts with what he's,
starts with creation, right?
Of course, yeah.
But, what's the first book of his revelation?
The beginnings.
In the beginning. So, perspective. Where do you start? You start with him as creator. You start with the reason that he created, which was life. That's what pleased him.
Mm-hmm.
You start with him establishing a timeline through the greater and lesser light that became visible as signs for the Moed, which are the meeting times, his seven invitations to meet with him each year.
All right, tells you the formula.
All leading to a 6+1 formula, which gives you the foundation to view everything. Everything, you can understand Yahweh, what he's offering, where he's taking us, his timeline, his plan of relationship, his plan of salvation. You understand it all if you have the perspective of 6+1, which he gives you right at the beginning. This is the key. That's the answer key.
Absolutely.
It is the answer key. And then once he establishes himself as creator, he then tells us what he loved and enjoyed in the garden, telling us this is where This is why he created the universe, for this relationship in the garden, which tells you that's what heaven's going to be like. So you know where we're going. You have perspective on where we're going. And then he explains the things he doesn't like, which is the whole religious viciousness of man and human institutions, which he eliminated with the flood, telling us that the host of religion is humankind. And then you have him going directly from that to the covenant, and systematically he gives you the perspective.
Right.
Perspective is about knowing what comes first. What's the first thing Yahweh told Abram he was going to need to do if they were going to enjoy a relationship together?
So you're going to have to get out of town. Get away
right.
from those people.
Get away from those people. Leave Babylon. Leave your country. And perspective is about knowing what things come first, the order of things. You know, when you're doing perspective in art, things that are close are larger than things that are far. But when the things that are far may actually be larger than the things that are near. In other words, you may have a 3-foot individual in the foreground and a 7-foot individual in the distance, but the individual in the foreground is going to look bigger.
Right.
Perspective. The order of things. Now, the...
You can substitute my class now.
Okay, so those are the two things. Now, I would say, and I'm not an artist. I've never taught art. The last time I was in an art class, I was in sixth grade. So I'm just sharing with you what my perspective on Yahweh's word, and because I think it applies.
Yes.
Okay. I think the third most important thing in realistic drawing. Now, this is not in two-dimensional line drawings where you're just creating an image. But I think if you want to make what you're drawing look real, the only way that you can create realism, accuracy, in a two-dimensional rendering of a three-dimensional object is to understand the source of light.
Yes.
You got to know where the light's coming from. And if you know where the light's coming from, where the shadows are, where it's dark, where it's brilliant, where there is gradations, if you understand the source of light, then you can make a two-dimensional object real, appear three-dimensional, represent a three-dimensional space.
Absolutely.
If we understand the source of light, as we study Yahweh's word, even in our three-dimensional construct, we come to appreciate where he is in the seventh dimension. He, by telling us that he is the source of light, can create a very real, a very accurate depiction of what we wouldn't have any chance of seeing otherwise. Pay attention to the source of light. Know where the shadows are, where it's dark. And when you do that, and you understand that contrast between light and dark, then you're in a position to understand what's true and what's not, what's good and what's counterproductive, and why God wants you to walk away from your country and walk to Him. Discussing the Torah from an artist's perspective, and doing so to help those who wish to understand who Yahweh is, to know who He is, to understand what He's offering, to feel very comfortable about going on this voyage of discovery on their own. And I think so long as you know, if you have some guidance, some instructions, some handrails that help you engage in the process, then you're good to go. Now, I'm going to add one more. So I've given you three.
Okay.
That the first is you've got to be observant. Carefully examine, carefully, thoroughly, diligently consider what you're looking at. Really look, focus, consistent with Yahweh's testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is perspective. You've got to start at the right place, understand the order of things, and the direction that God is taking you. The proper perspective is essential.
Mm-hmm.
The third is the source of light.
Okay.
And the source of light provides the contrast. It's between that which is brilliant, that which is dark. But it also tells you, it gives you the ability to render something that is real, an accurate depiction in lesser dimensions, telling us exactly, for example, in Yahweh's testimony, how his words paint a picture of where he is and where he's taking us. I'm going to try a fourth. And by the way, it's feel very comfortable to say, you know, you ought not be doing this because you're not an artist. But I'm going to try a fourth. And okay,
you haven't had a bad note yet. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, the fourth is that a picture is comprised of strokes, and you don't start with the completed picture. It's one stroke at a time, one line at a time, one detail of the image at a time. And it's once you continue to add details, strokes, that ultimately, if you add those strokes from the right perspective, if those strokes are based on a thorough and accurate and complete observation of what it is that you're depicting, if your light source is correct, each of those strokes ultimately will contribute and work together to form a completed picture. But you don't start with the picture. You start with strokes. And that's just like Yahweh's testimony. You go letter. The letters tell you about the words. The words tell you about the sentences and the statements. The sentences are part of paragraphs which provide insights and guidance. And the paragraphs are part of overall discussions and themes. And it's only by starting with the details that you're all able to see and appreciate the picture.
Well, I would expand that just slightly by also saying, but besides just the strokes, you in a painting, you're adding layers on top of layers on top of layers where the light penetrates through it. You know, that's why you have a white canvas is to have the light bounce back through it. But you build a painting with layers.
Mm-hmm.
Traditionally, I mean, the highest form of art is classical art would be with layers as well. So there's so many layers to that image that you're working on that you can just go. You could peel, and then I would associate that with the Torah, where you pull back another layer, and you're still seeing the same thing, but you're seeing it in another part of it, another part of it, and a deeper understanding. And so you're not changing anything; you're just seeing more of the picture.
Yeah, and that's kind of like the in a way, it's sort of like the facets of a diamond, although they're all on the surface of a diamond. It's just a different angle that you're looking at them. But layer upon layer is what ultimately caused me to understand what it is that God was offering. It says that when you see him approach what he is, what he wants and what he is offering us from lots of different angles and using different words and in different situations, and to have it all be consistent and be part, each of these layers, if you will, be part of the same picture, the same story. And they all contribute to the same story. It's the way those layers work and the way that everything is consistent and paints the same picture that for me wasn't just about coming to know. It was a confidence thing. That here's the ultimate artist telling us who he is and what he's offering and what he wants. From in every possible way, layer upon layer, and every one of these things is consistent. From symbol to word to concept, all of which, when it all fits together and there isn't a flaw in it, ultimately it leads to say, "Wow, this is beyond human capability." I'm going to place my utmost confidence. And the artist who painted this picture.
Yeah, no one could put this together, and you certainly couldn't put it together with this many different contributors over so many thousands of years writing the Torah. Right. I mean, it's just no way.
And how about the part of it that part of this painting? Because it's a grand, beautiful painting, and it starts, you know, on the right side and moves to the left side. How about this? The fact that this painting has drawn our future.
Mm-hmm.
and that every day that we move closer to that future, things that this painting said would occur have all occurred exactly as they were painted thousands of years ago.
Down to the finest little detail.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, so, it's staggering.
Yes, so all of those things.
Uh-huh.
It's the approach of an artist and seeing how each of these elements contributes to the whole picture. So let me go back to my original thought, and then we'll find out if there's more to to the more connections here. There's a reason that Yahweh just didn't give us the answer. He didn't put on a display. He could have displayed himself. He could have been still out there as brilliant, in fact, even more brilliant than the sun, with a voice louder than a jet engine, that would have just, I'm the answer.
Uh-huh.
But how would we have benefited from that? If he just showed the answer, who would have grown? Who would have had any fun in the discovery? How would he present eternity being any different than our mundane existence if he approached it that way?
You don't you see the parallels with the way Satan approaches it? He's bringing it. He wants you just to admire him. He doesn't want you to know anything. Just be stupid and just praise. You know, love me.
Love me. Yeah.
Admire
Worship me as God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Exactly. It's flashy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wanted to be known as God. And the real God wants to be known as an individual.
Yeah.
His dad. You know, one wants to be the Lord and have power and control and influence and to own and possess, and the other wants to give you all of his possessions.
Yeah.
And wants to lift you up so you're standing with him, and wants to empower you so you're like him.
And
wow.
Yeah, and that's the difference in the Torah and a Christian perspective. When you really get down to the real basics of it, it's not, you know, it's two different items.
So I came to appreciate the fact that God only provided the answer for those who enjoy the tapestry.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't enjoy the tapestry, you'll never find the answers, and that's by design. Because we're going to spend eternity together. And I don't want to spend eternity with someone who says, this cut to the chase. I don't want to go out there and examine that solar system out there.
Yeah.
I don't want to look at the building blocks of life. I don't want to try to figure out what in the world caused God to make a platypus.
Mm-hmm.
Just give me the answer and let's move on. I got, you know, other things to do.
You know, all the people that one talks to when they start to learn things, and you share them, and then it's so disappointing. And I finally concluded, and I think Terry agreed with me on this, we finally concluded that, you know, you can only share a little bit, and then somebody has to want to get in there and read and study and go there. And then I just don't worry anymore, you know, either you do or you don't. I'll do anything you want to help you, but I can't do it for you. You got to walk through the same door I did, you know.
Yeah, can I make a parallel then?
Sure.
Would you and Terry have come to know this, have gone on this voyage of discovery, where now you're voyaging, you're cruising on your own and having a direct dialogue with God, would you have gotten to this place if you hadn't read Yada Yada?
I'm not sure that we would. We were searching. I mean, Yahweh says if you keep knocking on the door, he'll find it. So he would have found some way.
He would have found someone. But in your case, it was Yada Yada that...
Well, it was just... You hit on a chord, and then it just... Right. And you'd put so much information before me, it became like, wow.
That's Yahweh's style, by the way.
Yeah.
Is that he doesn't want to get right in your face and say, hey, Kirk, hey, Terry, you know, for crying out loud, I'm God. This is who I am. This is what I want. Pay attention. No, he doesn't do that.
No.
He likes working through people. Work through Moshe. Work through Abraham. Work through David.
Yeah.
He likes working through individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And And it doesn't make the individual special. It does in his eyes, but not in human eyes. Mm-hmm. It's just that he likes individuals to help other individuals come to know him when those individuals focus on his testimony.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's just as you with an artist, as you explain and show a passion for how to go on this voyage, then more people are empowered to be artists. Yeah, to do so. You know, the Intro to God was written to provide the tools, to provide the perspective, to provide the canvas for people to engage in this process themselves. That's the entire purpose. Here's the toolbox you need. Here's the resources you need. Here's the canvas that we're looking at. And, you know, here's the light source. Here's the proper perspective. Here's what it really means to observe. And then what I did with the Intro to God was to say, we're going to learn these things by doing. So let's just take the topics that are most important to God. Now that we know this is the toolbox, this is the perspective, this is the light source, here are the strokes. Let's apply them. Let's use these tools now and this perspective to go through what he had to say, and let's do it together so that we're practicing.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's Yah's style. And so if you like that, you're going to get to know him. Right. And once you get to know him, you're going to find him irresistible.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, that's an understatement, yes.
Yeah, he's fun. He's humorous. He likes to party. Likes to camp out. Likes to explore. Likes to teach. Likes to give.
Yeah.
Loves his children.
The most giving person in the world, in the universe. The most fun party guy in the world.
Correct.
And nobody wants to come to the party.
Yeah, and the most creative. The most brilliant.
Fun to talk to.
Right. I mean, it doesn't matter if your perspective is, I want to know the artistry behind this, or I want to know the formula behind this.
Or you have that scientific mind, right. That wants to know the physics behind everything.
Behind that. Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
No matter what your perspective is, he's there for you. And if your whole thing is, once you've come to know him, you're just into the relationship, I just want to enjoy the relationship, that's fine too.
No, you can't find a better friend.
No. And it's a friend that is helping you grow, but not trying to change who you are. That's one of the things, you know, about Christianity is that, you know, once they've been saved, that they want to validate their salvation by explaining how they have changed.
Yeah.
But are you a, did Yahweh change you? If you had flaws, do you still have flaws?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And did he say, you know, Kirk, that accent and this analog approach, you know, I'm a mathematician. I'm really into the sophistication of the whole thing. And I speak very clear Hebrew. And this role, it's just never going to work. Did he try to change you? Did you feel any time that he was trying to change you?
No.
Did you find any time that Dode said, you know, Yahweh, he changed me?
No.
No.
No, when you think
no.
about it.
No.
No.
Maybe because that's not what he wants. It's like, you know, both of my sons have very different personalities. They have a lot of things that are unique about them. The last thing I want to do is to change them. You know, I love them because of who they are.
Yeah.
You know, you and Larry, for example, the two biggest contributors to the program, have very different styles. I love both styles. I think that's Yahweh's whole idea here is that I'm going to help you grow. I'm going to help you learn. I'm going to enrich you. I'm going to empower you. I'm going to do all this wonderful stuff for you as my kid. But the last thing I want to do is to change you because it's your unique personality that's going to contribute to the fun we're all going to have in eternity.
Well, that sounds a lot like my classrooms. I mean, they're all different.
Right. Every student in there is different. And your goal isn't to say, you know, this is the type of personality, this is the approach that I think is best, that I like, and so I'm going to get conformity. I want everybody to be the same.
No, we're all pursuing the same thing, but we're all pursuing different aspects of it, and I'm just teaching the fundamentals. So to me, it's
kind of like free enterprise to communism.
Yeah.
So celebrate the uniqueness of the individual.
Yeah, instead of the conforming little soldiers all in a row.
So isn't it interesting that Yahweh says, I want you to view me as an individual?
It's staggering compared when you grew up around a Christian frame or in a Christian frame.
Yeah. Doesn't that also mean that Yahweh has a unique personality, that he has proclivities, that we will find that there's aspects of Yahweh's personality that just show his unique proclivities, the things that he's most interested in, the things that he enjoys most, the things that are the most fun for him?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have some glimpses as to what those are.
Well, he always tells you what he likes best.
Yeah. So the thing that I came to for the first 4 or 5 years that I did this, I mean, I'm going to tell you that as I discovered that, you know, what Pesach meant, what matzah meant on this journey home, and how each of these steps ultimately provides the benefit of the covenant, and how there's a reason that Yosha fulfilled the first four, because the first four provide the five benefits of the covenant. And there's a reason that he hasn't yet fulfilled the final three in terms of what. But you go through these things, and the first reaction is, well, thank you, that's profound. I'm glad that you've shared that. And I'm really thrilled that you've helped me understand this. But why didn't you make it simpler? You know, now it's going to take me, 1,000 programs and 7,000 words.
And rewrites.
And rewrites upon rewrites as I understand the shading a little better, the texture a little better, the layers a little better, get the perspective down a little better. It's going to take all of that to convey this. And then you come to the realization that when somebody says, can't you just simplify it and give it to me? What is it I need to do? And my response is, no, Yahweh didn't summarize it. He didn't provide you with, this is what you need to do. He didn't display the answer.
If that was true, Yahweh wouldn't have needed 3 years to work with these disciples.
No, or a blinding light in a flash of a moment.
Well, that's one way.
with that other guy. A little humor there. But somewhere along the way, it dawned on me that this is the only way it's fun. This is the only way. As a matter of fact, if all you do with your students, and there were 12 teachers, I think it was an Atlanta school district that were all been convicted. They all do jail time because they on the standardized tests for their own benefit, to get raises. They gave the students the answers. They forewent teaching them. They just gave them the answers. And if Yahweh had just given us the answer, he would have cheated us.
Yeah.
And he would have precluded us from being like him. And he would have forestalled our growth.
That's fair. Fair analogy, absolutely.
What did I miss about art that's applicable to growing with and going on this voyage of discovery through Yahweh's words? Because I view Yahweh's words now as you do, which is these are pictures.
Oh, yeah. The pictographs are pictures. It's a funny thing in art. If you took you say, well, he could have a lot of different shading, or he could have drawn them a little bit more realistically or whatever. But it's a funny thing that, you know, if you put a circle and two dots and a dash, you have a face, and it's universal. And the more you shade it in the sense of, now I'm going off a little different direction, but the more you turn it into someone specific, then you start to shade that thing, and it becomes more and more and more realistic. It becomes more and more a person.
Right.
So it's kind of like what you're talking about there. If I just give you the answer, then you have this smiley face person, or you have this person, you know, this very symbolic person. But the more,
but no individualistic, no individual character, no individual persona.
Right, it's a generic face.
Right.
But the minute I start to shade it, the minute I do the eyes with detail and the highlights on the eyes and the shading on there and the reflected light, which we didn't, you know, which is another little aspect that's kind of interesting, where you have direct, because I teach direct light, and then how to do the shadows and how, and not to overlook the reflected light bouncing back. So the lesser light. But all these things that make up this drawing that becomes this portrait of your grandmother, for instance, and you go, and then everybody cries, oh, that's grandma, you know, and that's wonderful, and but you can't do that with just this thing, and you don't want to learn just that smiley face. I mean, you want to find out. You know,
so let me apply it to Yahwa. When Yahwa created humankind in particular, did he create us with a ubiquitous one face will fit all?
No, now with DNA, it's obviously comes in multi flavors.
So there are no two people that are, even with exception of, you know, one in, I don't know how many it is, a million that are identical twins, who even they have some minor differences. But with exception of identical twins, which is just something that is extraordinarily rare, didn't Yahwa design us so that we all have an individual look? I mean, billions of people, and everybody has an individual look.
Yeah.
So he's trying to tell you something there. Now, when he shades his family, his covenant, and when he draws his character, presents his character, does he present very individual aspects of this covenant? How is it? He differentiates his family from every other family, and he differentiates who he is from all other individuals?
Oh, yeah.
And does he say things like, you know, I'm jealous? You know, in Christianity, that's viewed as a flaw. I'm jealous.
And angry.
Yeah, and he says, yeah, that'd be also a flaw in Christianity and in political correctness, that I'm angry at times. Brilliant.